Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing wonderful.
Good.
And Charles, we want to start with the news that's making a lot of noise right now in the NFL, and that, of course, is Deshaun Watson and sexual assault allegations civilly in those lawsuits up to 14 with 24 accusers by my latest count at this point. What have you thought of everything that's been going on with Deshaun Watson and the case over the last couple of weeks, and where do you think this could go from here? Specifically with the NFL and how they decide to handle this?
Well, so I pulled the 14th case this morning, and, you know, when you read through all of them, you know, I think the thing that's concerning is that there are similarities between all 14 cases. You know, you see little pieces of information that seem to match up between the different accounts. Now, you know, you can approach this with skepticism and just say, you know, this is the attorney who has all these different clients, and maybe that's why these cases are matching up, and this, you know, there's some ambulance chasing going on here or whatever. But from what I understand, the accusers, it's a pretty varied group. You know, it's a different ethnicities, different backgrounds, different marital statuses, relationship statuses, different sort of business setups. So it's a pretty diverse group with a lot of, alleged victims who don't fit easily into one box. And, I think what's interesting to me is when you sort of hear what's coming out of Deshaun Watson's camp, they have to kind of pick a lane here and stick to it, because it's, I'm hearing all these different varied stories here, and, you know, that's suggestive of a pretty significant defense problem that's brewing here. And, you know, so you hear, well, Deshaun's, you know, masseuse, because of COVID, wasn't available. Okay, well, there was, I guess, no effort to go through the team to resolve that problem. Then it's, maybe this was an element where this was just consensual, and there's more to sort of this, you know, what was being sought out by Deshaun Watson was more of a consensual, setup here. Well, okay, well, then there's these text messages, though, that sound like, you know, Deshaun Watson, alleged text messages that sound like Deshaun Watson was setting up legitimate massages. So it's just a lot of things that don't match up right now. And I think part of the reason why you have Deshaun Watson's camp is so quiet is because the totality of the lawsuits haven't been filed. You know, there's 14, potentially, as you said, 24, we'll see. And that's through one lawyer. We don't know if there are other lawyers and other women. It's one lawyer who's making this very public. So that's what everybody's focusing on. And now there's this reality that, you know, the lawyer Tony Busby is consulting with a defense attorney who's essentially laying out how, you know, he could backdoor criminal charges here, which is to put together a packet of affidavits stating what happened, forwarding that to the Houston Police Department, the Harris County District Attorney, and essentially saying, look, we have victims here willing to sit for a grand jury. If you want to impanel a grand jury, they'll provide testimony, and then you can decide, you know, the grand jury can suggest whether or not Deshaun Watson should be charged with a crime here. There's a lot. There's a lot going on here. And I think people are like, well, how's this affect his trade value? Like, people need to back off that. Okay. Like, how does this affect his ability to move forward with his job, criminality? You know, did this or did this not happen? And, you know, I've had a chance to talk to a couple of teams that were interested in Deshaun Watson prior to all these incidents. And what's clear to me is, you have two things that have to happen here. Number one, whoever the team is, forget the fact that the league and Lisa Friel, they're doing their own investigation. Forget, what's going on with these lawyers kind of going back and forth. If a team's even going to consider trading for Deshaun Watson, they have to be 100% convicted that he is innocent of all these allegations. 100%. Because they're going to have to throw their full weight behind his innocence once he is acquired. And then once they clear that hurdle, hey, we believe he's 100% innocent, we've done all our due diligence, then somebody has to go to the league, whether it's the owner, a general manager, a coach, whatever an organization can bring to bear, has to go to Roger Goodell and say, are we onboarding someone who's going to be, on the commissioner's exempt list, potentially suspended? We need some kind of guidance from the league here to know what we could be getting ourselves into from a league perspective. And that's just the start of this. So the longer this goes, the worse it seems to get for Deshaun Watson, just in terms of the allegations. And, let's say this comes out to 20 lawsuits or 24 lawsuits. If even a quarter of those actually go to trial, say it's, five or six lawsuits actually go to trial, that's years of litigation. That's motions, counter motions. That's motions to dismiss. That's, evidentiary hearings. It's a million different things, and we're talking about literally years and years of litigation. So it should be the number one story in the NFL right now, and if you're watching a network and it's not the number one story on that network, I can't tell you why that is.
Well, why do you think that is, Charles?
I think the way that this was initially presented by Tony Busby caused a lot of reticence for people. And I can speak for myself personally. When it first came out on last Tuesday, I'd never seen a lawyer approach it the way that Tony Busby approached it, in terms of going to Instagram and saying, hey, here's what we're going to do, and then talking about himself half of this Instagram post. And I've spent 5 years in investigative, and that was literally like canoeing through lawsuits for 5 years. I mean, it was, and I've never seen, even attorneys who wanted a lot of attention had never approached something like this on social media the way Tony Busby has. Now, I think that caused some people immediately to go, wait a minute, this is real stinky, the way that this is starting. Like, something doesn't feel right here. But by Thursday, it had gone from one accuser to six. And then when you started to read through the filings, I think there's enough there if you want to go through the filings where you're going to go, there seems to be a lot of commonality here. Now I want to know why. And the fact that, again, they're willing to provide affidavits to law enforcement, if indeed that does happen, you're opening up all of these accusers to have to testify under oath, the ones that would be willing to testify under oath for a grand jury. Well, now they can be prosecuted in that case. The attorney himself could be putting himself at jeopardy if there's something nefarious going on here. So I don't know if that the networks, people aren't really combing through this and looking at this situation and going, hey, we got to get beyond how this thing started and understand what this really looks like now. Or what? Or if it's just because Deshaun Watson had this, up until this point, has always had this squeaky clean image, and so people are having a hard time believing it. But, I was talking to a team, and, I said, hey, if you attached X player's name, and I named a player who kind of had a sort of like a history of things, I said, if this player was in the middle of this, it would be on every network all the time. I can't understand why, for example, the NFL Network, I get it. It's league-owned. I get that. But when all hell was breaking loose, the next day, I can't remember what day it was. It might have been Friday with the NFL Network. I was like, let me watch this. Let me watch their morning show and see how long it takes them to talk about this. It was an hour and 40 minutes. And then Will Silva gave it 30 seconds. And I was just like, wow. We just went an hour and 40 minutes, and then they gave it a 30-second update. And that's really – all the attention they're going to pay to this. And so, everybody's got their reasons behind it, and it probably doesn't help that there are still multiple teams and owners that would be willing to at least have talks with the Texans about Deshaun Watson. But this is a massive, monumental story that's going to drag on for a while. And anybody who thinks this is just an ambulance chasing event that's going to go away quickly, I just don't see it happening unless there's some kind of silver bullet that I don't see from Deshaun Watson's camp.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, we talked about this with you a few weeks ago when Dak Prescott signed his deal, but the NFL TV deal finalized, $110 billion, Amazon involved, multiple broadcast networks as well. What did you think of the deal for the league, and what does this mean in terms of the salary cap and things like that moving forward as well?
Well, Amazon's the highlight. You know, when you NFL owners were doing backflips over getting Amazon involved in this, and I really do believe that the Thursday night package that they'll pick up in 2023, it's a test drive. And I think that, interestingly enough, I think it's the test drive that when the 7-year out comes, you know, there's a opt-out clause after 7 years, it's an 11-year deal. I think the NFL is going to sit there and the owners are going to rub their hands together and go, is there some way we can get ESPN and Amazon into a fight over the Monday night rights? Because the Monday night franchise is the monumental, you know, that, and I'll say this, like, look, they still haven't figured out the Sunday ticket package, which is still in the hands of DirecTV. That's got to be figured out. DirecTV has that through 2022. So, you know, that's also something that I think Amazon could potentially pick up. But I think the league would like to figure out a way to bring Amazon more into the fold than just the Thursday night package. And so people kind of understand what Amazon's involvement is going to be. They're going to 100% produce their Thursday night games, meaning the camera shots, the talent, it's a network event for Amazon. So it's a ground up build from Amazon in terms of what they're going to do for Thursday night football. So I think Amazon's intriguing. I think the dollars are what we all thought was insane. But you know, it was interesting. There were some wrinkles too that I think are good for fans. They told ESPN finally, hey, you can flex games on Monday night starting in week 12. That's great, because now we don't have to watch dog games in you know, December and you know, November and December. So for them to flex some games, that's great. But it's indicative of 2023, you're going to see a big jump in the salary cap. I think next year's going to be flat. Then 2023, we're going to see the big step forward. And all those teams that were telling me, hey, 5 years from now, as in 5 years from this season, the cap's going to be 250 to 260 in terms of $250 to $260 million. I don't have any question about that now. I think I would be stunned if it's below $260 million 5 years from now.
Well, let's get your Titans take, Charles. You know, the entirety of this picture, signing Dupree and Autry, letting both Butler and Adoree Jackson go, not going after a high-priced receiver. We see the Giants gave a lot of money to Adoree Jackson. What do you think of the Titans as they stand right now and what they've done?
You know, I in terms of Jackson, you know, to me, you swap in, you know, Janoris, and I think they're similar. Honestly, I think they're similar players. So, you know, I mean, if it just comes down to the money, then okay, you know, I get it. Like, I can understand that. But in terms of the talent, I think you could probably see comparable performance. You know, Janoris is at least a good 3-4 years removed from his best football. The totality of the class, I mean, it's all really going to depend on Dupree. I think, you know, given the money that if Dupree does really well, you're going to look at the class and you're going to say, okay, we're happy with it. We resolved some pass rushing issues. We paid him a lot of money and we took a lot of risk here, but he's going to have to succeed, you know, because I think Corey Davis is going to put up some numbers. He's going to have some opportunities. And you know, Jonnu Smith, the intent there with the New England Patriots is to maximize, you know, his talent level. So some of the guys you let go, you're probably going to see them, you know, put up some numbers and say, geez, you know, it'd be great if we still had that production, but you're going to feel a lot better about it as long as Dupree makes himself worth, you know, the gamble that the Titans are really putting on him and the money that they're paying him. And now if he comes out and he's, you know, if the sack numbers aren't there and the impact's not there and you're looking at him and going, geez, he looks more like a cleanup guy where, you know, if he has to be single covered or not covered to, you know, to really get pressure on the passer, you're not going to be happy with that. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I would say right now that it's a wait and see, you know, in terms of the overall class for the Titans, but it's been a wonky free agency because the teams that I think did really well are the ones that picked off guys for deals that were sub-market where they would have been otherwise. So, for example, the Cleveland Browns, they go and they pick up Troy Hill. The safety Johnson was a guy that I think the Rams were looking at, you know, tagging coming out of the 2018 or 2019 season, I think, or 2018 season. I think they felt like, hey, 2019, 2020, he's going to be a guy we're going to have to apply the tag to. He was banged up last year. So, you know, you see the Browns cheaply grab pieces where, Tack McKinley, a lot of one-year sort of test drive kind of players. And, you know, those are the teams that I think did well. I think the teams that paid guys this year, there weren't a lot of big contracts that I thought were, you know, maybe like, you know, Trent Williams. There's a lot of gambles that are going on right now, and it's just a weird year because of the salary cap. So I know it's probably not the definitive answer you want, but you know what? You guys were just arguing about the color of Nemo. So
that's true. We did do that.
I want your final grade right now on the Titans, and that's it.
Charles, I do have to tell you this before we let you go. It was kind of a flashback to Rex Rhodes' college days. I know y'all were friends in college. Rex Rhodes was like an hour and 20 minutes late to the show today because he slept in.
Can you believe it? Is that shocking to you, Charles? Shocking information.
Did you wake up on the floor? I mean, like, how much of a flashback?
Or in the tub.
Or right, in the bathroom.
Right.
Were you banging on the door while I was passed out in the bathtub at 4 a.m. saying, hey, I want to come in and brush my teeth? That did happen, by the way.
Hey, I wasn't going to volunteer that story. You have.
Two legends.
I give you credit, buddy.
Two legends.
One of my finer moments.
Oh, what a night that was. Charles, we should do a segment just on those stories
maybe
sometime.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Charles, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, have a good one, fellas.
Absolutely. Right, we'll come back and react to a little of what Charles had to say there on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Is your bracket busted? And let's be honest, it is. Well, now you can enter the 16-team Game Bracket Challenge to win great prizes. Brackets must be submitted 15 minutes prior to the first game on Saturday. The Game Bracket Challenge is brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, European Collision Repair, Cool Springs Wine and Spirits, and Coach's Corner Sports Grill. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, it's been interesting on the Deshaun Watson story that continues to evolve in the NFL. I think Charles is exactly right. I think a lot of people viewed it when it first happened of, all right, what's going on here with the lawyer and the way that he's handled kind of coming out with this information on social media, which Charles talked about in the last segment. But now, I mean, you're up to 14 lawsuits at this point coming out against Deshaun Watson. As Charles detailed, a lot of them similar in nature in terms of the story that's been told, but different in terms of the victims involved in these lawsuits that have been alleged against Deshaun Watson. What do you think of all this? What do you think about the way it's been handled, the way it's been covered, and maybe where it's going? Not only with teams, you know, looking to maybe trade for Deshaun Watson, but if you're the NFL, like, what sort of action could you take on this as this continues to move forward here?
Well, it's a mess, and I think Charles is right on there. And I'm not that surprised. I mean, I think both things he mentioned are absolutely part of this. One is the way it came about. I mean, my first instinct was, what is this? Some lawyer putting some crap on social media. It was a bizarre start to the whole thing. And then, look, I mean, Deshaun Watson to me is one of the most beloved and celebrated players in this league, not just for what he is on the field, but what he is off the field.
Yeah,
I mean, he's there. You know, there are some guys who have, you know, bad reputations, and some who, you know, most of the league, it's just sort of like, okay, well, what if something happens? It happens, and then you react to that. I think Deshaun Watson is on that short list of superstars who have been so great in their community that, like, everyone wants to believe is, you know, like a superhero, one of the good guys. And so I think that's part of the coverage. But first of all, you know, all joking aside with Charles and the college days and stuff, I mean, the guy is as good an investigative journalist as there is in sports.
Yep.
This has been true for a long time. And so when he studies case files and things like that, I trust his opinion on them. And so I put some weight into what he said. And even apart from that, this, I think for a few days now, has been trending toward, okay, this is not just, you know, just some lawyer throwing something at a wall. There are people here, there are alleged victims involved who are lining up and being involved and being willing to put themselves out there. So keeping an open mind on the whole thing, because we also, I think a lot of times with sexual assault, and I think for the most of my life, it's in sports, there's this big, impulse to not believe the alleged victim. And I think that that's a real problem. I also think, look, I mean, you just have to keep an open mind on this. I mean, I have no idea what happened here, what all is going on here. More is going to come to light. But, yeah, the coverage of it, I think, at this point, it's a bigger story than it's being treated as in national media. I suspect that will change soon.
I suspect it will as well. I think we're already starting to see that a little bit on ESPN. I mean, it was on First Take the other day. They were talking about it to begin the show, and I think that will continue to be the case as more and more details and allegations have come out over the course of the last couple of days. But it is interesting, like, you know, from Charles's point of view, and he talked about this with us in the last segment. If you missed that interview, you'll be able to catch it on demand later. You can go to Apple or Spotify, or you can watch it online as well via Periscope, YouTube, or on Twitch. But this is not something that's going to go away anytime soon. Like, this is something that sounds like it's going to stick around and be a story for a long time. And I realize when you get to the football part of this, this is way less important than getting to the bottom of what's actually happened here. But we spent so much time talking about, you know, Deshaun Watson being traded. Like, if I'm an NFL team right now with this kind of hanging in the background, unless, to Charles's point, you're 100% sure that he's innocent, and I don't know how you could be right now at this point, there's no way in the world I'm trying to trade for him right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, and when you think about how this can and probably will drag, again, I'm with you. It's like it's almost icky to talk about this when you talk about the seriousness of the allegations.
Sure.
But look, the reason we're talking about this guy is because he's a star NFL quarterback, and he was the number one story before any of this, because who were they going to trade him to? Who was going to figure out a way to get Deshaun Watson to be their star for the next few years, and what would the Texans get back? I look at this, and just off the cuff on the football side of it, I feel like the Deshaun Watson not being on a football field in 2021 has gotten way more likely.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll continue to keep you updated as this story continues to develop here with Deshaun Watson and the sexual assault allegations that have been out there, up to 14 such lawsuits up until this point. So we'll continue to monitor that situation as it unfolds here. When we come back, we're going to get back into the Nashville Predators. Elliot Friedman coming out with an interesting statement on his 31 Thoughts podcast regarding Matthias Ekholm and Ryan Ellis. We'll discuss that when we come back. But right now, I've got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And the tournament is down to just 16 teams. So if you've been watching from the sidelines, now is your chance to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook hooking you up, as always, with exclusive 30-1 odds on all 16 teams left in the bracket, even the top seeds. That's right. New users get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game this round. You can win $150 on a $5 bet. So maybe you feel great about the favorites left in the tournament. Michigan, Gonzaga, Alabama playing really well right now. Maybe you feel good about the underdog. Oral Roberts, Loyola Chicago in there as well. You've got options on the table. And all you've got to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock exclusive 30-1 odds. The app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. A max bonus of $150. Restrictions do apply. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Preds fans, join 102.5 The Game tomorrow night from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. During the Preds season, we'll feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can also watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Tomorrow, we'll also be giving away a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Detroit Red Wings at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday night. So make sure that you're tuning in for that. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet does a 31 Thoughts podcast with Jeff Merrick, where he always comes out with some really good information. Elliot, one of the most connected guys in the NHL. And on the latest edition of the 31 Thoughts podcast, was talking about the Predators, some decisions that they've got to make coming up regarding Matthias Ekholm and another defenseman thrown in the mix as well that could make things very interesting for David Poile and company coming up. Here's what Elliot Friedman had to say on his 31 Thoughts podcast.
I think we've all kind of looked at Ekholm as the guy. He's got one more year under contract at $3.75 million. Yep. He's a heck of a player, and we knew he was out there. Well, the interesting thing to me is I had someone say to me on Sunday that they're beginning to wonder if the Predators are going to be making an Ekholm-Ellis decision.
What does that mean, Ekholm? Like one or the other?
Could it come down to one or the other? Hmm. Now, initially, I think that Nashville kind of looked at Ellis as they didn't want to do it, and I'm still not convinced they want to do it. But when we reported that it was Josi no, Rene no, and Ellis no, and everyone else they'd think about, I had a couple of people ask me, are you sure? Are you sure they wouldn't do Ellis? And it wasn't like they were saying anything bad about Ellis. It's just that I think there's teams out there who really like Ellis. And the danger about Ekholm is he's only signed for one more year. Now, Ellis is signed for six more years at $6.25 million. And like Ekholm, he's got a lot of respect. Like, both those players are really respected players. And I just wonder if some teams have gone to the Predators about Ellis. Mm. And I also wonder, because he signed it a longer term, you know, would people feel more comfortable dealing for him? And I can't see Nashville trading both those guys. I'm just wondering if there's any chance that they look at it and say, well, what if instead of Ekholm, it's Ellis, and we try to keep Ekholm long term? I think clearly Nashville has some big decisions to make, and I think it's possible that teams have leaned in on them and said, we're not sure about giving all this up for only one more year of Ekholm. You know, how do we feel about giving all this up for six more years of Ellis? I think it's possible that's going on.
So that was Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet on his 31 Thoughts podcast with some interesting stuff there regarding Matthias Ekholm and Ryan Ellis. Maybe saying the Predators have got a decision to make coming up. Do you trade Matthias Ekholm? Could the Predators possibly go the route at some point of trading Ryan Ellis instead of Matthias Ekholm? Joe Rexrode, when you hear that from Elliot Friedman and the options on the table and maybe some decisions that the Predators have got to make coming up, what is your reaction to what Elliot Friedman threw out there?
Well, my reaction is, and we talked about it before any of this came up, I mean, Ellis, to me, would be the preferable player to trade from the Predators' perspective. It's interesting to me that other teams look at it this way. I wouldn't have necessarily guessed that. But I understand the money's big, but the term's longer, so you have that. If you feel like he's a long-term top-pairing defenseman for you, you have a little bit more assurance there, and he has certainly had better offensive numbers than Ekholm. His shot is fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I also, like, if you're another team out there and you're seeing that he just had a surgery and he's out, that's where I would have a lot of trepidation. But I think if the Preds could work this out, if one of them has to go and you can keep Ekholm and trade Ellis, to me that's ideal for the Predators if the haul is roughly the same.
If the haul is roughly the same, and you know, obviously the other part of this that you've got to be comfortable about if you're the Predators is knowing that Matthias Ekholm wants to be here long term. Now, he spoke with Adam Vingan a couple of weeks ago at The Athletic and was pretty open about the trade rumors. He's heard them, he's seen them, and made it clear in the piece with Adam that he's not asking for it. He does not want to leave, but that he understands the business being what it is, and that may end up happening at the end of the day. If the Predators believe that Matthias Ekholm wants to sign here long term, to me, and I've said it from the start, you got to think long and hard about training that guy. I absolutely believe that he could still be a part of the solution when you get through the rebuild, the retool, whatever the case may be. If Ekholm, if you can get him signed long term and Ellis is the route you want to go, and if what Friedman says is true and people like Ellis, teams like Ellis, and maybe they're even more comfortable giving up as many assets as they give up for a guy that's under a six-year deal, to me, this is not really much of a conversation. I'm trading Ryan Ellis all day long before I'm trading Matthias Ekholm.
Yeah, look, there may be defensive analytics that are contrary to just what I've seen, but I think Ekholm is a better and more, I guess, I don't know, as versatile as a word. He's better in more matchups than Ryan Ellis is. Like, I feel better about him as a defensive defenseman than Ryan Ellis. Again, if you show me some advanced stats that conflict with that, fine.
Well, and
I don't know if they exist or not.
Yossi and Ellis last year together were otherworldly good in the advanced stats area. I mean, they were really good. Ryan Ellis, to his credit, was awesome last year. Now, he's not been as good this year, and injuries now, again, a story of the season as well for Ryan Ellis. So it's not like, you know, to me, there were legitimate concerns after that Dallas series of, oh boy, what are the Predators about to get themselves into with this contract? Because he did not look good in the Dallas series, didn't look good at all at the end of that season. Now, we later found out he was dealing with injury while that was going on. But I thought he responded very well last year. But to me, you've got to at least be, if you're the Predators, concerned at this point with the injuries piling up the way they have.
Yeah, I mean, I was concerned about Ellis going into last year. I think a lot of people were because of the injuries. And is he, you know, not the – because someone put on Twitter here, you know, what's he done since his contract? So people get into the – you get paid and you – whatever.
He was pretty good last year.
He was awfully good last year. Now I'm getting blown up by Stillman, who has – he's clarifying now. He did not actually bring in the movie Nemo, but he's quoting himself from Dallas series. Quote, he looked like a little goldfish just moving around doing nothing. That was Jared Stillman's hockey analysis of Ryan Ellis a couple years ago in the Dallas series. So I apologize for bringing the movie Nemo in. I guess I just
Finding Nemo. But yes.
Yeah.
And Dory. You also brought Dory into the equation. Yes. The blue fish. The blue fish. Not the red fish.
Right. The blue fish with the bad memory, more
That's
like me.
Correct.
Yes. So also Jared is like screaming, like putting bad words here about analytics. So Jared's not a big analytics fan. But listen, I tend to agree with Jared. Maybe he's a little harsh, a little rough on Ellis. But I would take Ekholm over Ellis all day long. So if that's how it goes, and you can get a similar return, I still have my doubts about that, though.
Let's revisit the poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. And today's question is this. If you could only keep one, which of these two defensemen would you rather have long-term if you're a Preds fan? Would it be Matthias Ekholm or would it be Ryan Ellis? 251 votes are in, 72% going with Matthias Ekholm, 28% say Ryan Ellis. So, Joe, Matthias Ekholm is the runaway winner in this poll right now. I'm not surprised that he's winning. I am a little surprised. It's basically with 3/4 of the vote.
I'm not that surprised.
Really? I thought it would be more like 60-40.
Well, I think, you know, Ekholm has been great this year. So your recency bias is Ekholm has just been dynamite. Ellis is hurt again. And also, I do think this happens all the time. We've talked about Rick Barnes this week. When Ellis signed the deal and then, you know, didn't have immediate great play, wasn't, you know, he wasn't great that year right after.
Yeah.
then I think that's also part of this too. Fans hold it against a player or a coach who gets the big deal and then doesn't immediately like double their, you know, get more money does not mean all of a sudden your performance increases necessarily. You're getting paid to do the same thing longer, but that's kind of how it's looked at.
And then, you know, speaking of that, what sort of a deal would it be for Mattias Ekholm if he signs with the Predators long term? Like, what sort of money are you looking at? We'll continue to discuss that when we come back. Also, dive back into some basketball as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's time to save some cash fast. It's the 102.5 The Game Deal of the Week from Grain and Berry in Hillsboro Village. Go to thegamenashville.com right now to get half off a $20 gift card. Grain and Berry is a superfood cafe serving everything from acai bowls, which I had one of those yesterday. They are outstanding, by the way, and fresh pressed juices to flatbreads and quesadillas and hearty avocado toast and international coffees. Everything is made to order and free of additives. It's the perfect place for health conscious, vegetarian, vegan, and dietary restricted patrons to eat. Get a half off gift card while they last at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe, talking right now about our question of the day surrounding some information that was thrown out there by Elliot Friedman on the 31 Thoughts podcast with Mattias Ekholm and Ryan Ellis, maybe the Predators having a decision to make on which of those two defensemen they could think about trading as they move forward here. The poll question has spoken pretty loudly. The fans here in Nashville overwhelmingly want to keep Ekholm if they had to choose between those two defensemen. The interesting part of this is I think we could get our answer either way very soon. Because to me, like, if Ekholm is the route you're going to go and you're going to trade Mattias Ekholm, you've got to do it now. Like, you got to do it before the trade deadline this year, because part of the value that you get back in return for him is he's got another year left on his deal after this one. So theoretically, if you're a team out there getting him, you would be able to acquire him for a postseason run this year, another full season next year, and another postseason run. I mean, there's a lot of value that comes with that. So we've talked about a first-round pick being a part of the package, maybe a couple of prospects as well. To me, that's the package if Mattias Ekholm still has another year left on his contract. If you get through the trade deadline this year and they've not traded Mattias Ekholm, let's say maybe you go that route this summer, I think the value goes down a lot at that point. So if there's going to be a time to trade Mattias Ekholm, I think it's now. If they don't, maybe that tells you that they are thinking about trading Ryan Ellis this offseason. Because to me, especially with him being hurt now, I mean, that is an offseason move to trade him and part ways at that point. I mean, if you're a team wanting immediate help, who knows when Ryan Ellis is going to be back this year. John Hines confirming the other day that he had surgery, says he's skating, but he's not close at this point. We have no clue when Ryan Ellis is going to be back.
Yeah, some of the appeal of Ekholm, not only that he's really good, but it's not just a rental. The cost is great, and if you bring in a guy like that for a playoff run, you feel good about, okay, come back next year. And if it all works out, he likes it in your town with your organization, then you can lock him up long term. You know, the rental thing happens more than anything.
Yeah,
but this is like a rental plus at a great cost for a heck of a player. And I agree with you. If the Preds don't move him for this deadline, probably gonna be a lot of speculation around the other guy.
Yep.
During the offseason, because, yes, there's not much value right now for another team to get Ellis in the short term because he's not going to be playing for you.
Well, the other thing in the short term, too, is the salary cap.
Yep.
A lot of teams are not wanting to add a ton of money before the end of the season to the salary cap, so that makes more sense to be an offseason move where teams have a lot more flexibility to make moves with other teams if they are wanting to add Ellis to their books.
And you brought up some odds earlier that I thought were interesting, talking about the odds of Ekholm being traded versus the odds of Granlund being traded and where the favorites were. I thought those were interesting that you brought up.
Yeah, so those were from Bodog. Ended up in my email yesterday. Ekholm is minus 150 to stay with the Nashville Predators beyond the trade deadline, and then the favorite outside of the Predators as his team beyond the trade deadline is Philadelphia at like plus 325. And then Granlund the favorite to land him beyond the trade deadline is Toronto.
Right. So, obviously, I mean, it makes sense from this standpoint, Granlund, a rental player. So, if the Predators go the route of selling, he absolutely will be on the block. He is a guy that they will trade. I do think it's interesting, though, that as much as we've talked about Ekholm, and he's number one on the Athletics big board and all these different things, to have those odds right now as the favorite the Predators keep him, I think is interesting.
Yeah, it's sort of, I guess with stuff like that, I usually look at it like the field usually has better odds than any particular, it's like the reverse of that though, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's just still, what other team would be more likely than the team a player's on in terms of odds? Wouldn't it usually be the team that the player's on would still get the best odds? Maybe I can't say that I've studied that.
I mean, for players that are heavily rumored before the trade deadline to get traded.
If there's one spot that everyone's saying, but you know what I mean?
Sure, but you could have plus 250 as the favorite.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It doesn't have to be, you know, less than even money.
Right. That's true. I mean, and the flip side of all this, of course, for the Preds is that if you aren't trading him, then and you're forfeiting this big haul, and again, maybe you're getting it for Ellis later, but then you better feel great about him signing long term.
Yeah.
You better feel great about him being all in on as good as you can feel about being part of this, whatever's to come, and being there on the other side of it.
Well, and to that point, I mean, that's a similar conversation that we've had with Philip Forsberg as well when it comes to when he's eligible to sign a deal. The Predators, if they kept him around, they could sign Matthias Ekholm to a contract extension this summer. And that could be, you know, if you keep him around, you keep Forsberg around, maybe those are two guys that you try to lock up as you move forward here. You can have, I guess, some initial conversations about that right now. You can't actually get a deal done until this summer. But if I'm David Poile, if that's the route you try to go, you better make sure that there's some legitimate interest in Ekholm to hang around, which...
However you can do that.
Yeah, and I've gotten no reason to believe that there wouldn't be legitimate interest for him hanging around.
Well, I think a lot of times if it's a player who has been in one place the entire career, you know, and things have gone well, and like it's, you know, I mean, you know, if a player likes where they are, if they like being in your organization, and it's been long-term, it's been a good relationship, you know, then I think that should give you a better feeling about it.
I think so, too. So just really interesting stuff there from Elliot Friedman. And it's interesting. He kind of got the ball rolling on all this, coming out with a report. I guess it's been probably a month ago now, maybe a little bit more, talking about the untouchable list for the Nashville Predators. And Pekka was on it. Roman Josi, obviously, on that as well. And said Ryan Ellis would be on it as well. And as you heard last segment in the clip from Elliot Friedman, had some people reach out to him and say, are you sure that Ryan Ellis would be on that list? So I have no idea what the Predators are going to do as they move forward here. I don't know what they're thinking in terms of which way they could go if they decide to be a seller. I don't know if, you know, if you win two games this week against Detroit and you find yourself right there on the cusp of the fourth spot in the Central Division, does that change the way the Predators operate? I have no idea. You and I have both said probably would not change the way that we operate, but we're not the Predators. Maybe it changes the way they operate. I don't know, but I definitely, as C-May said earlier in the show, there's no scenario where I can imagine the Predators being a buyer this year. That scenario just does not exist.
That'd be wild.
That would be wild.
Just imagine Twitter that day. Speaking of Twitter, Keith Lane, shout out for the Joe Rex Croak.
Yes, Joe Rex Croak.
I am a big Cal Yarncroak supporter. I embrace it. Again, much better than other...
There's a lot of
variations
you can do with your name.
Of the last name.
Yeah. I cannot wait for Cali Yarncroak to score a goal tonight, and then we'll get
a jersey hanging up here soon.
We'll get a 19 jersey with Rex Croak on the back.
Like I said, if he gets a hat trick, then I will buy a Yarncroak jersey and I will wear it.
Absolutely.
And I mean, again, I'm totally against wearing jerseys, especially of people younger than you.
Yeah.
Ever. Like I would wear like a, you know, a Lou Whitaker jersey.
That's how dedicated you are.
But yes. So get a hat trick tonight, Yarncroak. It is the year of Yarncroak. Hey, look, it's the Will Wade Homer in the studio.
It's true. That does it for us today.
Elijah Campbell, Will Wade Homer, everybody.
Robbie and Rexo, we'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba.
Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.